Now pray with me. Wow, God. You are my Jesus who loves me. What a powerful word for us this morning as we're gathered here. As your church, as your people. God, we pray every week, come Holy Spirit, come. And it's not because you're not already here, you've not already been here, that you weren't here before us. But we pray those words, those four words, come Holy Spirit, come. Because God, we want to pray that for our own hearts to be open. As we listen to your truth here in just a moment, as we try to understand what you're calling us to, this higher level of living. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your bulletins if you would, or take your Bibles and find Matthew chapter 5. We're going to take a look at the Beatitudes, the first 8 verses of the Beatitudes this morning. We're glad you're here this morning and glad you've come to worship. And if you're a guest today, thanks for being a part of what God's doing here at Covenant. And we hope this won't be your last time you come back and spend time with us and worship with us in the future. But we're so glad you're here today. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read just the first 8 verses just as a kind of refresher as to where we've been over the last 4 weeks and as we're headed today as we look at verse 8 in particular. This morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And today, for today, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, I hear those words, and I think about the Beatitudes. I think about the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And I think to myself, I just kind of envision what was going on that hillside as Jesus was sharing these words. Can you imagine in that moment hearing those, okay, wow, what does it mean to be poor? You know, these people just like asking, looking around like, what is he talking about? How does this work in my life? How does being poor in spirit work? How does being a mercy giver, how does that work? I mean, how does all that, what does it mean to be pure in heart? And especially for some of the people there on that hillside who were Pharisees, the Pharisees of the day, I mean, they were all about the rules. I mean, you had to keep the rules. And they had a lot of rules. And if you didn't keep the rules, I mean, to the nth degree, then you know, you could never be acceptable. I mean, you were always messed up. I mean, can you imagine them sitting there and hearing, not Jesus, he doesn't talk about rules. He talks about being pure in heart. Then you'll see the kingdom of God. Then you'll see God. Not, hey, if you keep all the rules that you've established, these man-made things, if you keep all them, then you'll see God. No, he didn't say that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, it's not that rules are bad. I mean, I think we have to have rules. We have to kind of have those things that kind of keep us in line and regulations. So that's good to have rules. But when those rules become the end all be all, instead of just the guidelines that help us live life, then suddenly we get our eyes off of what's important and we start saying, oh, that rule's important and that rule's important and that rule's important. And we forget about how the Spirit of God comes and influences our life. and moves in us and around us and through us. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. What could Jesus have meant that day? You see, when we talk about these Beatitudes, and really these Beatitudes are the life-giving characteristics of a Jesus follower. The life-giving attitudes that we as Jesus followers employ in our lives. We look back at them now and say, okay, I think I can understand that. I think I get that. I understand that one. I get that one. And so I want to put these in place in my life. They're the bedrock for you and me and for our relationship with Jesus, so that we can build upon them and live out our daily walk with Jesus, putting these Beatitudes, these new attitudes, these kingdom attitudes in place. I don't know about you, but for me, these past 4 weeks and today, as I'm thinking about this fifth one, these are challenging to me. To put these in place every week, you know, to think about what's it look like for me to be a mercy giver. By the way, how'd that work out this past week? How did the mercy thing work? You know, to be a mercy, I've been pretty merciless on Cindy because she won't tell me the Wi-Fi password at the Ark. And so I've been letting her have it. And she says she doesn't know it, but I'm not sure that's really entirely true. But you know, that's just, you know, how's the mercy thing worked out in your life this week? You know, sometimes that's really hard to be merciful when people aren't, you know, doing what you want them to do and acting the way you want them to act. How about that hungering and thirsting for righteousness? You know, staying in the Word day after day after day so that my walk with Jesus doesn't become stagnant. You know, so that I don't get stuck in a place and I'm not moving forward and walking with Jesus on a daily basis. And not just reading, but hungering and thirsting for that relationship with Him. I mean, that's such a powerful thing, such a challenging thing to me, because, you know, the reality is all of us get busy in life, right? We get busy with stuff, we get doing things, and what's the first thing that gets pushed off to the side? Our walk with Jesus, our devotional life, right? That's so important. And Jesus said, look, you got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So this has been a real challenge to me, to put these attitudes, to check myself over and over and over again. Are these attitudes that Jesus spoke about, are they part of my everyday? Are they part of my life? And what I discovered is that, you know, I can put these attitudes in place in my mind, but if they don't go here, if it doesn't go to my heart, it's just a temporary change. I don't know if you've ever noticed that about following Jesus, but a lot of times we can say, yeah, we know this, I got it here, but if it doesn't become a heart change, then it's just a temporary thing. Oh, I got it for this week. Yes, I can do that one. But it's about heart change. And that's what Jesus is talking about to these people who followed Him onto that hillside. And to you and me, 2,000 years later. The Pharisees struggled in life because they were bound up by legalism. They were rule followers, and man, they could follow those rules, and it made them kind of clean and acceptable on the outside. But sometimes their lives were a mess on the inside. Sometimes we're like that. We can fake it pretty good, can't we? We can fake this thing with Jesus pretty well, and we can fool a lot of people around us, and that's what the Pharisees did. We make it sound good, we make it look good, we act good, but on the inside we're a wreck. And these attitudes that Jesus talks about here, And again, they were incredibly challenging. You know, sometimes the Pharisees did what you and I do. Maybe you don't do it. I don't know. But sometimes the Pharisees would just say, "Well, I'm better than that person." You ever done that? Oh, you don't have to tell me. I have. I'm not as bad as them. I didn't do that this week. Oh, I didn't do that thing this week. That's what the Pharisees used to do. They were rule keepers. And as long as they could keep the rules, well, if somebody else didn't keep the rules, well, then they were the lawbreakers. They were the ones that were messed up. I mean, maybe you remember the story in Luke 18 where the Pharisee and the tax collector were praying on the sidewalk. You remember? Tax collector's praying to God and asking for mercy. What's the Pharisee say? Do you remember? "God, thank you that I'm not as bad as that guy." or the woman we talked about last week, drug into this public arena because she'd been caught in the act of adultery. To be stoned because she was a sinner. Because she was messed up. And she was way worse on the outside than all of those stone-holding Pharisees. Right? But what about on the inside? When Jesus challenged the inside, what happened? They dropped the stones and they walked away. You see, that's what these attitudes are all about. It's not about just the outside appearance. It's about the inside. It's about the heart. So what did Jesus mean that day when he talked about being pure in heart and seeing God? Well, verse 8, in a couple of the other translations, well, we read it this morning in the New Living Translation, "God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God." William Barclay is a commentator, and he said, "Oh, the bliss of the man whose motives are absolutely pure. For that man will someday be able to see God." But here's the question. What is the standard of purity? What Jesus is saying, you know, blessed are the pure in heart. But what's that? And how do we get to that place of being pure in heart? How does that happen for you and for me, for us? How does it happen even for those gathered on the hillside that day? How do you become pure in heart? That must have been the question that was on the minds of at least a few of those people gathered there. And from time to time, people who might hear this word. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they'll see God. Well, how do you get pure in heart? How does that happen in our lives? What's the standard of purity? What does God require of us? How good is good enough? What is necessary is this pure heart. But it's not just about being better than someone else. You see, that someone else that we oftentimes want to point our finger at and say, "Well, I didn't do that today," they don't set the standard for life. They're not the ones who say, "Here is what I want you to do. Here is what I want you to be. Here is where I want you to live your life." They don't do that. It's God who does that. The one who is pure, holy, and sinless. It takes you and me surrendering our heart and saying, okay, I surrender. I cannot do this on my own any longer. I have tried and tried and tried and tried, and I fail miserably. I surrender, God. I want a pure heart. I surrender my heart. I surrender my will. I give up control of my ideas. I give up control of my plans so that you can be in the forefront, so that you can be in control. What Jesus is talking about here is having this single-minded focus and saying that is the one. It's like having tunnel vision. Everything else around us becomes a blur except for Jesus. Except for the one who is the standard for you and for me as we live life. A pure, single-minded focus, undivided devotion and spiritual integrity. If we wanted to paraphrase this verse, we might just say, I desire a heart. Jesus is saying, I desire a heart that is unmixed in its devotion. And it's unmixed in its motivation. It's like Jesus is saying to you and to me, look, if you want to see God, if you want to experience God for all of eternity, there has got to be this substantial change, not on the outside appearance, but on the inside, in our hearts. There has to be a change that's necessary at the very core of our being. It's not about being religious. It's not about being a part of a certain denomination. It's not about attending church every week. All those are important. But it's not about any of that stuff. It is what Jesus is driving at is for people like you and me having this total, dramatic change of the inner person because the light bulb has come on that God's grace has been poured into our lives by the actions of Jesus on a cross. And so we're like overwhelmed by that and we're saying, okay, that's what I want. That's what I want. Have you ever heard someone say, well, the heart of the matter is, you ever heard someone say that? Have you ever said that? The heart of the matter is, and what they're talking about is the very core of the issue. The very inmost issue is this one thing. The heart of the matter is this. That's what Jesus is saying. The heart of the matter is inside of us. The heart of the matter is the core of our very being, being transformed by the grace of God. It's like you and I echoing David. David in Psalm 51 said, created me a clean... That wasn't a rhetorical thing. Created me a clean heart, oh God. Created me a clean heart. I want to be clean at the very core of my being. God, you know, sometimes I'm gonna mess up on the outside. Sometimes I'm gonna make mistakes, but I want to be clean on the inside. I want to be clean at the very core of who I am. And that's only possible because of what Jesus did on the cross, because you poured out your grace for me. That's what Jesus is talking about. Be pure in heart. Have a heart change. Have a heart transformation. Look, you know, I hear David say that and I think, That's the kind of heart I want. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I want to be able to see God. To see God means that we get to have a deep experience to know Him intimately and personally. Seeing God is a goal of all that we do, all that we are. Some of you heard the story of John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader from way back. I mean, this is way back in the day. He was a slave trader and he would go to Africa and he would gather up whatever Africans had been captured, put them on a boat, and then take them from Africa to America, and then sell them as slaves in America. And if he would go to Africa and get 100 Africans, and 25 or 30 would die on the way to America, it didn't matter to him. He didn't care. He threw them overboard. He was a vile, profane man. I mean, he could care less if people, what the people thought about him. He was about making money in any way he could until something amazing happened in his life. He said one day someone said something about Jesus and something about a cross and something about a man who hung on the cross and looked out across that group of people who were crucifying him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." And he said, when I heard those words, it was like Jesus was speaking to me. And I recognized for the very first time that what Jesus did on that cross was for me. And he went down into his whatever he his bunk or whatever he had on that ship. And he cried out to God. And he echoed the words of David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. I want to be clean at the very core of who I am." And he wrote the song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a what? Wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found." How cool is that? He found and discovered what it meant to be pure in heart. His life was transformed, not just on the outside, but on the inside. He gave up that old slave trade. That was done, gone. He wrote another song. I don't think I've ever heard this other song that he wrote. But the words are this. "In evil I long took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight, and it stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on the tree, in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near the cross I stood. He saw Jesus. And Jesus did what Jesus does. Gave him a pure heart. Because of his grace. Because of his mercy. Because of his love. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Today is part of what we're going to do here in just a moment. Today is Today, by the way, is World Communion Sunday. If I can get it to go here. One more time. I can't make this thing work, so you got to do it, Brian. World Communion Sunday. The cool thing about World Communion Sunday, church, listen to this. You know, sometimes we think we gather here on a monthly basis, and every month, the first Sunday of every month, we take communion. We think, oh, that's cool. Our little church, that's pretty cool, man. We get to take communion every week. Listen, today, there are our sisters and our brothers around the world who are doing the very same thing that we're doing right now, today. It's world celebration time. We get to celebrate what Jesus has done. We get to celebrate the fact that he hung on a cross and that guys like John Newton could look at that and say, oh, I can't be the way I've always been. My life needs to change. We get to celebrate that. We get to celebrate all that Jesus did with sisters and brothers for all over the world. So we're going to do that this morning. And I want to ask you to stand as you can. And let's join together in saying this prayer of confession that we've said many, many, many times before. But what a word of confession for us as the body of Christ here at Covenant Church. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And while you're seated, just take a moment. Take a moment and make your own personal confession to God. Prepare your own heart to come to his table. Well, let's take just a moment so we can talk to God.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen.
Christ will come again.
Will you pray with me? God, we are so grateful to gather in this place on this day, knowing that sisters and brothers from all around the world are doing this very same thing. People that we'll see one day in heaven. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be in the midst of all that we say and do in these next few moments. That you'll bless the bread and the cup. God, as we take them to ourselves, may we know your presence. May we know your power. May we know and experience new and fresh today your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
On that night in the upper room, Jesus took a common element. He took bread from the table and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat."
And then he took a cup. And he blessed it. And he said, this is my blood. Blood shed for you and for many that you might know your sins are forgiven. Take and drink, all of you. Well, those who are assisting in serving communion this morning, would you come at this time?